The Democrats are growing really desperate. I mean, beyond desperate, so desperate that the full-on stupidity is coming out in full force. I mean, you know what? I don't wish this on anyone to have to watch the Fed hearings that went on this week. But when it came to Congress, they took the cake. I mean, the Senate was one thing, right? But then you got all these representatives from all over, and they just want to make a point. They want to make the point, the Democrats do anyway, that none of this is Joe Biden's fault. This inflation can't possibly be his fault. All this is we get another shock poll proving Americans are so over this president. And you know what? Whether he likes it or not, as Truman said, the buck stops here. He's the president of the United States. They blame him for inflation, in my view, as they should. Anyway, it was really quite something to see. I got to play you a few excerpts from it. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the new poll. And I have a special guest here for you today, because you know that it's clearly a very treacherous environment. It's one of the reasons why I keep saying to people, you need to think about protecting your portfolio. One of the ways you can do that is with a gold-backed IRA. So we have Charles Thorngren from Legacy Precious Metals here in the house, 1-866-589-0560 for you today if you're interested in investing in precious metals. But we will get to Charles in just a moment. I got to start first here with the, I mean, it's unbelievable. They had an agenda, very clearly an agenda. They want the American people to know, not our fault. You know what? We did what we had to do. And hey, like, you know, at least we're better off than Latvia. They're going around the world and they're making all these comparisons and they just want to say, look, we're the prettiest girl at the dance, despite the fact that we've got so much debt and we're now in an environment with so much inflation, 8.6%, that now the Fed is going to aggressively have to raise rates, which will cause a pullback. We're already in one. You heard me the other day. We are in a recession. Anyway, nobody wants to admit that, certainly not the administration. They call it transition, as I told you yesterday. The R word is out. And this is the kind of rhetoric we got from our lawmakers, members of Congress on Capitol Hill. Take a listen.
Of course, during the crises that we had to do certain things, stimulus and other things to make sure that we kept our economy stable. I mean, if without doing those things, we would have been in trouble. So the things that we did going through COVID, the stimulus, trying to make sure people kept their jobs, kept money coming in at the time, was what we had to do. Otherwise, we would have been in worse shape or not have as strong economy as we have now compared to other countries. Is that not correct?
Yes, I would say it this way, that our inflation is a consequence of very strong demand, in part driven by supply, by what Congress did to support activity, in part driven by what we did, but also...
But that helped stabilize our economy at that time, right?
It did.
And if we did not do those things, our economy may not be as strong as it is right now.
I think that's right.
That's correct.
All right.
So strong.
You see where this is going. Like, he's going to get himself in trouble there, because the whole idea was, we're going to lead you up to this. You have to say, like, not our fault. And then Jerome Powell, our Fed chairman, kind of goofed, because he said, yes, you know, I'd agree, actually, that part of the inflation we have now is because of what Congress did. And the guy, that would be Representative Meeks from New York, he started doubling down. Well, you know, what we did was good, right? Right? You see, this is what you call the cover-up after the fact. I told you from the very beginning, you could not have Congress doing what it did, the White House doing what it did, while simultaneously the Fed doing what it did. In other words, you can't just have all this money being printed by everybody. Frankly, Jerome Powell should have known better given what Congress was doing. He should have pulled back. He didn't. And so maybe now he's like, yeah, you know, given what Congress was doing. Anyway, they're all trying to blame one another, but they certainly do not want to take any blame themselves. And after all, we're still better off than Latvia, right? I mean, that's the idea here. We're still the prettiest girl at the dance, even though, you know, there's not a whole bunch of lookers here. Look, I will say this. We do have a worldwide inflation problem that was tied, of course, to the supply chain issue and the fact that the economy reopened. We all get that. But you know what? There were things that could have been done, should have been done, in order to mitigate the higher energy and food prices. You knew this was going to happen overseas. You knew that all this energy was going to come offline. Then why the heck wouldn't you have done more to encourage drilling here in the U.S.? I mean, really, let's be honest. Now you're saying, well, you know, the answer is maybe to just tax all these energy companies more. Like, that'll actually get them to do more drilling. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Anyway, you can see that there's sort of this whole PR spin that's making the rounds, because you have the White House spokesperson on that show on ABC, The View, if you can ever stand to watch it. I actually can't. I really, like, physically just can't. But now they're talking about inflation, which is kind of interesting. It's just kind of funny to hear how they're talking about inflation. Once again, trying to make sure that none of this gets pinned on the Democrats, which, I'm sorry, guys, you're in office. It's your problem. Here is the White House spokesperson talking to Joy Behar on The View.
How do you make the case to voters that his economic policies are working, that it's not his fault, that inflation is a worldwide problem, that the gas prices are not Joe Biden's fault? How do you do that?
Well, you just said it, Joy, which is what we're seeing with gas prices, what we're seeing with inflation, even the cost of food going up. It is a global challenge. And a lot of that is connected to Russia's war.
Of course. It's Russia's fault. Listen, I just want to be very, very frank and straightforward here. We were looking at upwards of 6% long before anything happened overseas. Okay, 6% inflation on the CPI numbers long before anything happened overseas. Sure, that'll make it worse, obviously. All the more reason why you guys actually should have been planning accordingly, knowing that all that energy would be taken offline and knowing that we would have more challenging environment in terms of food sources. But gosh, it was here, right? And it was here because of mistakes made. And even if we're going to be super generous and say, you know, we're not going to give him any blame for the mistakes, here's the reality. Americans are dealing with this. They have to now pay more than $5 a gallon at the gas pump. So I was talking to one of my friends the other day who runs a beauty salon, and she was saying that one of the women that works with her, it's hard, right? Like, gas prices have escalated so much that now they're carpooling together. I know that the left is going to tell us, oh, that's a great thing. Now we're going to go back to carpooling and maybe people will use more public transportation. And that's all great for the overall trajectory of where we want to go. I mean, they'll tell you need to buy an EV, right, for $60K. But my point is only that I don't want to discourage that. That's all fine. However, why do the American people have to pay for this transition in the here and now? Shouldn't we be able to count on our government to guard against things like massive inflation? I mean, we are not, frankly, one of these banana republics, last I checked. Although, you know what I got to say? Like, occasionally, occasionally we're getting kind of out there. I mean, you know, like, I got to say, a lot of stuff has felt very banana republic over the last several years. Anyway, the reality is this. I believe we're in a recession. I hope it's not going to be bad. I certainly hope not, but we're in one right now. It will cost the Democrats politically. We've seen this already. 58% of Americans disapprove of the president. I mean, that is a massive disapproval rating. He's really sinking in the polls. I don't know any Democrats that really want to campaign with him. Would you? I mean, what's your chance at getting reelected when gas is upwards of $5 and your constituents are like, wait a second, what the heck just happened? Policy has consequences. And that's what we are viewing right now, the consequences of poor choices on the policy front. Anyway, I promised you that we'd talk about ways to protect yourself. A whole bunch of you have been messaging. You can, by the way, make comments and stuff below if you're watching this on Rumble or on YouTube. But a lot of you have been talking about how you like silver right now. I know a lot of you like gold. You know I do too. So I sat down earlier with the CEO of Legacy Precious Metals, Charles Thorngren, to just talk about how we should be thinking about this environment. I got to tell you, he's really worried. He's really worried about the U.S. economy. Take a listen to him here. Really good stuff. Always great to talk to Charles and hear his perspective. Again, legacypminvestments.com is the website. Their phone number, if you want to give Charles a ring, 1-866-589-0560, 1-866-589-0560. I think it's so important. You got to think. This should be the wake-up call for everyone. Look, we're not going to continue forever in this massive, you know, equity bull run. I think in many ways, this is actually healthy. What's happening right now, so long as you have the trajectory out in front of you, so long as you're not retiring tomorrow, right? But let it be a wake-up call to make sure that you're planning that retirement accordingly. It is great to have you here. I am here every day. I want you to come back. Make sure that you have subscribed to the channel, hit the bell, hit the like, share the video, whatever you can do. It's really important. I want to make sure you know about these issues. I certainly have been banging the table. Gosh, we're going on basically 2 years now with me warning about all the inflation that would come. And sure enough, it's here. I just wish we had smarter people in Washington, D.C. that knew how to deal with this stuff. But frankly, they don't. So self-interested. You know it. Anyway, I'll see you online, on social media, on my website, trishintel.com. Do make sure that you sign up for the newsletter there. And I'll see you back here tomorrow. It's good to have you here.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks.
So what do you make? I mean, the Federal Reserve is kind of telling us that, yeah, they're going to continue this interest rate hike. And there's a belief that they will be able to get inflation under control through these higher rates. You know, I guess they have to say that. I can't imagine them saying, no, it's spinning out of control. But what's your real honest to God sort of gut feeling on this? Where are we heading?
And like you said, they can't come out and say we're not in control of anything.
Right.
There's no market left if they do that. Right. So in some aspect, I'm glad they're giving people milk toast because not everyone can handle the truth, you know. not to steal any movie lines here, but a lot of people can't. But the reality is they've never been in control of inflation. They haven't been for years now. Quantitative easing has gone on for so long. You can't say you're in control of your one job if you freely print money and just pass it out. That's not what the job was. So do we have some backtracking? Yes. Is Chairman Powell solely responsible? No. But he is in charge. It's his responsibility. Much like, you know, President Biden's in charge. Things that happen are his responsibility as well. Okay. And the two come together. You have that political pressure for Chairman Powell to do what's needed by this administration. Mm-hmm. And we see that. And this is why we're seeing such a lackadaisical response to a real issue.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's a real issue. And we're now at I feel like the point of no return. And so, yes, they're going to try and get this under control. And the answer is higher rates, which is problematic for the economy, which is problematic for the stock market. And as I keep telling the viewer, you know what? I'm actually really glad I got that gold. In all seriousness, I could be down a whole lot more, right? Given where the S&P is. And I think it's one of the reasons why I say to people, you want some consistency in your portfolio, and that diversification is critical with things that can mitigate inflation, but also be your safe harbor like gold. With that in mind, however, something else happened this week, which I want to dig into with you. And that's that the Swiss bought a whole ton of Russian gold. I was surprised, right? Because, you know, I know it's Switzerland and everything, and they try to be kind of agnostic on these things, but still they've been sort of sticking to the sanctions. And then they went and they took this gold. What's your view on that? Will we see more of it? And what does it do to the price of gold?
Yeah, interesting question. And theoretically, there is no sanction on Russian gold. Mm-hmm. I say that theoretically because there's a lot of things that are being said, they're being done to Russia that may or not be, mm-hmm. may or may not be being done. Mm-hmm. But there is no sanction on the gold. The interesting thing is, and it was actually, I know you were kind of using it glibly. It wasn't a ton. It was actually 3 tons of gold that they sold. Literally 3 tons of gold. And the interesting thing to me, was the way that it hit the market. Typically, when you have central banks buying and selling metals, it goes through the London Bullion Desk, right? This didn't happen. They sent 3 tons of gold to a refiner in Switzerland. That lets me know that both parties were trying to downplay the situation and not draw attention to it.
But just to back up for a second, just to remind people, gold can be melted, right? Turned yes. into a liquid and repackaged in Swiss gold bars instead of Russians. I mean, not that yes. that necessarily, but, you know, you said it went to a refiner first.
Well, and that's what happens. You know, it's, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing about metals is that it's that accessible. It's that easy. You know, you can't take a dollar bill and then cross it off and then call it a euro, right? So that's what gold can do. You can refine it and create it into any form or fashion that you want from that point. So Was it intentional? Probably. Yeah, I don't think you accidentally send 3 tons of gold to a refiner and not the bullion desk. Was it illegal? No. Mm-hmm. Was it right? Probably not.
But you're getting at something, actually, which I think attracts a lot of people to gold in the first place, right? Because the idea is maybe this is the one thing that, you know, when push comes to shove and you really get a rainy day, and I'm not just talking about safe haven investing, but, you know, if you're suddenly going to, you know, move to Timbuktu in the middle of nowhere, gold is one of those things that, you know,
it's always valuable.
Not as, you know, traceable, shall we say. Not that I'm encouraging that. It's just interesting what the Swiss did.
Well, and yeah, I mean, that is something to be said. And I think, too, I mean, it also lets us know something else, too. This is the central bank of Russia. But I think that leads us to look at a scenario that says throughout the world, countries are not doing well, not just us. I mean, I know, I don't know if you were listening in earlier to Chairman Powell's
principally kumbaya. You couldn't get
and
this
we had
inflation.
I won't say his name, but we had a representative from
get it without
great
the
state
kind of
California
issues that we've had,
trying to say that inflation wasn't so bad here because
wages,
in Latvia it was 20%.
Durable goods.
If we ever get to that point, forget it. You need all gold and silver if our economy becomes a satellite country's economy. All kidding. I'm not actually saying put all your money in gold and silver, but if we get there, good Lord, we're in trouble. Right. So we're seeing this play out around the world. And that's one of the great things about gold and silver. They are valued around the world. They trade 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. No matter where you're at, there's a market. Mm-hmm. And that's a very important process if you're looking for an emergency fund or a way to know that you have complete control of your investment. Mm-hmm. It's access all the time. There's no banking holidays. You know, the market doesn't close down for a federal holiday, and we keep adding these, and I don't know when half of them are anymore, to be honest with you, but we don't have that situation. You have autonomy, and you also have accessibility, which is really important if you're looking for something that's going to act as a buffer for your portfolio.
I'm amazed. One of the things that I recently learned was that you could actually put $1 million worth of gold into a shoebox. And I was just sort of blown away by that because I first of all, never really thought of that before. But a lot of people actually like having the stuff in their home, but that actually presents a whole other series of challenges, I would imagine. But that's kind of what you guys do. I mean, you can get a gold-backed IRA from Legacy right. Precious Metals, but I know you can actually get the real physical stuff as well. Do people keep it in their homes? I mean, do they keep it in a safe deposit box?
Yes, to all of that. Yeah. They do a little bit of each. It's really your comfort level and how much you're buying. You know, $10,000 of gold in your house, it's really easy to hide.
Yeah.
It's not that difficult. More maybe we start looking at a safety deposit box option. Or we also offer storage too. It just depends on your specific need. And I will say that, you know, the decision today about, you know, the restriction on gun laws probably helps some. We're probably going to have more people now look and get some gun safes, right?
And some gold.
And some gold. It fits right in there, right next to the bullets. It fits perfectly, to be honest.
I think that there are a lot of people right now that are very worried about the trajectory of the country. Given what we've got going on overseas, given what we've got going on right here at home, I understand it. I get it. Tell me about your concerns, because I know you're in this camp in terms of your concerns about recession and whether or not it's actually going to be more than just a recession. I mean, I think back to challenging times, and I think 08 was probably one of the scariest I'd ever seen. I know a lot of people right now are really, really worried about recession, and I know you're one of them. Do you think that as we go into this sort of, I know that the administration likes to call it transition. I just call it a recession. I actually think we might even be in one right now. But the question is, how bad is it going to get? I mean, you only get 3.5%, 3.6% unemployment. I consider that a positive. But once you start sinking down, the question then becomes, is it something more? Does it become a systemic crisis, if you would, a la 2008, which is the most recent sort of example I can think of? What's your take, Charles, on where we're heading?
And that's interesting. I know we get on here and we talk, and I like to be fun and light. But you know, this is a very serious problem. Our recession, and we are in one now. You know as well as I do, you don't know you're in a recession until you've been in it a little while.
That's what I keep saying. I said, that's the good news.
That's the good news is we're here.
Yeah.
The bad news is it's just started. And this will be more than a recession. If we look on just some historical figures here, the S&P is down 21%, excuse me.
Yes.
For the first 6 months. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen those numbers since 1970. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen that since President Nixon was in office. That's scary.
Yeah.
And you know what we did then? We changed currency. We went to the petrodollar.
I hadn't thought of that, but that's a very interesting comparison, right? I mean, that was actually when we got off the gold standard, right? I mean, right. That was...
To inflate.
Huh. All right. This brings us sort of full circle, right? Back to what do you really want to make sure that you can hedge your inflation?
I can't lose, right?
Right.
You need your principal to be safe.
So that's an important thing. And I've been talking about this a lot on the show, because to me, one of the things you want to do to set yourself up. Now, granted, if you're a 20-year-old kid and you know you get many, many decades ahead of you, it's a little bit different. But anybody who wants to ensure that they're protecting their principal while still being able to eke out some asset growth. Look, bonds have been kind of a lousy performing vehicle because you were getting it sometimes less than 1%, right? On the 10-year treasury at 3.5%, maybe it gets a little bit more interesting. But, I think gold is part of that portfolio. I think silver probably is too. But I also say to people, you know, when these yields start climbing, that gets more interesting. I think that, Charles, in some ways, we've made a mistake as a society for being too obsessed with the equity markets. And you've got the Federal Reserve, like, doing all they can to keep that obsession going. And maybe that obsession just, it's a healthy thing. It needs to change.
I agree. I think our Fed would be better served focusing on their real job, but they succumb to pressure as well. And it's the pressure of people, and it's the pressure of politics. No one wants to be running a campaign when everyone's lost half their value in the equities market. Now, is it strictly the politician's fault? No. Do they bear enough responsibility? Absolutely, yes. But the economy is an independent thing to our retirement portfolio, and people don't understand that. So what we have to do is realize that we want our retirement accounts and our investment accounts to be independent of the pressures of a fixed economy. And there's very few ways to do that. And that means stepping out of the typical equities, the typical ETFs, the mutual funds. Those are all the same thing.
I think you're hitting on something that I've brought up recently, which is that you have an entire financial industry that's so geared and focused on beating the S&P, right? They don't even care if the S&P is down. It's like the S&P is down 21%, but guess what? We're only down 19%, right? So we did our job, and there's this culture around that. And yet to me, you want to have some kind of protection of principle and protection against inflation, right? Like if you can beat inflation, protect principle, and maybe, you know, keep eking out some gains, it may not be the fastest way, but it sure seems to be a steady way to prepare for retirement, which is kind of important.
And that's really what it's about. You know, it's about the purchasing power when you retire. Mm-hmm. Most people who retire aren't worried about how many zeros there are in their account. They're worried about the life that they can live. I've done the corporate dance. I've done the self-employment dance. I've done all that. Now is my golden years. Let me enjoy it. And it's no surprise in my mind that it's called the golden years. Mm-hmm. I'll just throw that out there. But it's about the life that you want to live. And you know, when you look at the equities market, and I know the last time we talked a lot about 2008, it's the most recent thing to compare to what we have now. We know the housing market's in trouble. We're seeing that. We know that, businesses will be in trouble. shrinkflation, inflation. Corporations are in trouble, right? Yeah. At some point, this all passes on and it causes increased taxes. It causes loss of jobs. I mean, we're seeing layoffs already. Mm-hmm. JP Morgan Chase just, you know, went through a round of layoffs. So that unemployment number we're worried about, we should really be worried about it because it all equates to a system that's broken. And if we go and do what we've done in the past and it takes a decade to recoup from this downturn, that's 1/4 of your retirement investment time gone.
I know.
That you can't afford.
Yeah, no. And look, I think it's challenging for people because look, hey, I know everybody's, you'll make 7-8% in the stock market over the long term. Well, that's great as long as you're not going to retire next year or in 5 years. I mean, what if you were retiring right now and you were depending on that equity portfolio and it just plunged? And now you got to sell it all as it's down. I mean, that's why I just think people, and I say this in terms of my own personal life too, and what I believe in for retirement planning, but I just can't say this enough to everybody listening. Like, you want to make sure that you don't have all those eggs in one basket. And I look at anything, even in the S&P, as just sort of gravy, right? Like it's there, but it's a little bit, you know, a game of roulette. And so how do you make sure that you have what you have, you protect what you have, and you have that keeping up with inflation? Explain what a gold-backed IRA is.
A gold-backed IRA is we're going to look at your retirement account, and we're going to take a portion of that, and we're going to invest it in gold or silver. Mm-hmm. You know, you said 7 or 8% over time, and that's great. Here's what a gold-backed IRA is going to do for you. Mm-hmm. It's going to limit those losses on those corrections that have to happen in that equities market. Mm-hmm. Nothing goes up forever, up and down. And that ability for things to go up and down is where you make money. It's important to your investment cycle. The key is to not take the heavy losses when it pulls back. And that's what gold and silver does. It minimizes that downturn. So instead, like right now, right, we're down 20% on the S&P. Had you had a percentage in gold, you wouldn't be down 20%.
I know. I'm one of them.
Right? So the 2% we're down in gold is much better than the 20% that portion was in the S&P. You've mitigated loss. That's how you succeed. Look, that's the true basis of protection.
Yeah. And look, there are people that say, well, you know, it's not going to go up at the same rate. And I just get back to, it's not a casino. It's your retirement. And I would much rather have the consistency that, you know, we all seek for our retirement years rather than, you know, have these wild, wild swings. Cause like I say, you got to be able to sleep at night. It's a big, important thing, especially now. You know, Charles, I would be in trouble with our listeners if I didn't ask you about silver, because I cannot tell you how many questions I keep getting on, you know, because I talk about gold a lot, but silver is really important to people right now. I've heard from so many that they've been investing in silver. Just give us your sort of quick summation of silver right now, where you see it heading and why you like it or why you think there might be more buying opportunity.
Silver is so undervalued.
Really?
Absolutely. Based on where it is to gold, if silver right now jumped to $40 an ounce, it would just be undervalued. Not extremely undervalued like the way that it is now.
And why do you say it's undervalued? Just in terms of not enough being out there?
There's been some manipulation in the market. One of the things about precious metals, you have to understand when you're in there, you're dealing with the investment that investment firms, governments, federal agencies, the IRS doesn't necessarily like, right? When you invest in metals, you're saying, I don't have complete faith in the US dollar and the way the country's being run. So there's manipulation. We've created ETFs and now investment bankers are saying, look, you can own some metals too. And then as soon as there's any kind of percentage gain, they start leveraging. They start maximizing returns and that's their first course of things to sell. So you see pressures. Now, as with anything, if you put enough pressure on something and hold it back long enough, when that pressure that's holding it back releases, items take off. And that's what we're going to see with silver. Mechanically, electronically, solar, There's so many aspects of silver that gets used in a mechanical process besides just the investment process of it that, you know, I mean, we have tremendous gas prices because this administration thinks they could force us into a hybrid electrical system that's not ready yet. Mm-hmm. So just from that aspect, a lot of silver is being consumed. A lot of solar panels going up. They're actually using more silver now than they did in the past.
Interesting.
So on the industrial side, silver is in very high demand.
Okay.
So well, this will all come together.
That's an interesting point to think about because look, gold has just taken off, I think, over the last 20, 30 years. And, you know, maybe we can watch silver over the coming years to see if it has a similar trajectory. I mean, they're very, very different. I would just say that in that gold still has that reputation for being the ultimate safe haven. But your point is well taken on the need for silver, especially as we transition into this green economy.
Transition.
Right?
There's one keyword of this administration, transition.
Listen, it is so good to see you. As always, I want to tell everybody you should go to legacypminvestments.com. You can call Charles up. We're going to have the number there on the screen. If you're watching, it's there on the screen for you. It's in the show notes. And, these guys are all wonderful. I know you're a family-run business. And yes. We've had some people that listen to the show call you, and I've heard nothing but wonderful, wonderful things. So I know you'll take good care of them and help them out. Thank you, Charles.
My pleasure, as always.
Really good stuff. Always great to talk to Charles and hear his perspective. Again, legacypminvestments.com is the website. Their phone number, if you want to give Charles a ring, 1-866-589-0560, 1-866-589-0560. I think it's so important. You got to think. This should be the wake-up call for everyone. Look, we're not going to continue forever in this massive, you know, equity bull run. I think in many ways, this is actually healthy. What's happening right now, so long as you have the trajectory out in front of you, so long as you're not retiring tomorrow, right? But let it be a wake-up call to make sure that you're planning that retirement accordingly. It is great to have you here. I am here every day. I want you to come back. Make sure that you have subscribed to the channel, hit the bell, hit the like, share the video, whatever you can do. It's really important. I want to make sure you know about these issues. I certainly have been banging the table. Gosh, we're going on basically 2 years now with me warning about all the inflation that would come. And sure enough, it's here. I just wish we had smarter people in Washington, D.C. that knew how to deal with this stuff. But frankly, they don't. So self-interested. You know it. Anyway, I'll see you online, on social media, on my website, trishintel.com. Do make sure that you sign up for the newsletter there. And I'll see you back here tomorrow.